This episode of Enterprise Radio is brought to you by the Before It Happened podcast series, a show about visionaries and the moments, events, and realizations that inspired them to change our lives for the better. To listen in or to simply subscribe, visit beforeithappened.com.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Bob Nelson, a PhD and the president of Nelson Motivation, Inc., the world's leading authority on employee recognition and engagement. Dr. Bob has authored over 30 books on employee motivation and engagement, which have collectively sold over 5 million copies in more than 30 languages. He is co-author of the new book, Work Made Fun, Gets Done, Easy Ways to Boost Energy, Morale, and Results. And Dr. Nelson, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. Glad to be with you.
And of course, we're certainly looking forward to hearing from you as well. Thanks for your time. So, as we know, many businesses are desperate to get back to business, but you say the best way to do so is to have more fun. That's surprising advice. Tell us more about that perspective.
Well, people are pretty burnt out after the pandemic. They're isolated. They were depressed, still struggling with that. And so really what's needed more than anything is to give them a reason to want to get back into everything. It's not just for the money. It's you know, of course, we need money, but it's other things that make people feel connected and feel that they're part of something larger than themselves, and enjoying the people they work with and who they're serving, the customer.
Yeah, you're right about that. Burnt out totally after the pandemic. And certainly a great way to kick things off here today on this episode of Enterprise Radio. Now, what's fueled this shift in employee expectations? Give us some input on that.
Well, it's been kind of a long-term shift. You know, back in probably the early part of the century, you know, you did what you're told and don't ask any questions and do it, you know. And as work has merged with the rest of our life, you know, let's talk about work-life balance, but it's really work integration. So most professionals are working pretty much around the clock in different ways with emails and whatnot. And so along the way, we've increased our expectations of what work should mean. It's not just 9 to 5, getting a paycheck, and hoping the commute's not that bad. We have more expectations that we get more from it, in terms of satisfaction, in terms of meaning, in terms of enjoyment. And it's really not that hard to do, to have an eye on that. It's not fun at the expense of work. It's people that are having fun, they actually work harder. They're faster, and they do a better job. They work till it's done right. So it really does attract and get more productivity as well.
Now, taking this further, in your book, you feature hundreds of ideas to make work fun for little to no cost. What are a few examples there, if you don't mind sharing?
Well, we have the book divided into things you could do individually with your work and job, and things you could do as part of a group, and then things the organization can do. And with your individual job, there's actually quite a lot of things that if you're dreading something, or, you know, we all have things that are mundane or rote that are kind of boring to do, and you got to suit up and get it done. So, you know, just doing something as simple as setting a timer for 20 minutes. Let me see how much I can get done here in the next 20 minutes, and stop, make excuses, stop procrastinating, and just dig in. Or say, if I get this done by, you know, by 11, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to get a quick walk or go shopping online, or whatever it is, a reward that you set for yourself for making that goal. It's really kind of playing games with yourself to keep it interesting. If I get stuck or I'm procrastinating on something, I'll talk it through with somebody. And inevitably, it's like, oh, okay, and that gets me into it, and then that's easier to do. They just renamed their to-do list their fun list. So it just starts with a frame of mind that it's a little fresher, and I get to do what I'm being paid for. And just remind you that not everyone does get to do that. A lot of people have more difficult jobs, or And so you should try to enjoy it. And in the big picture, if you don't get fun, if you don't enjoy it, you should think about doing something different, you know. And that's what a lot of people have done over the pandemic. In April alone, 4 million people quit their job. I had a lot of time to think about, is this really what I'm going to be doing with my life? And a lot of them said, no, it's not. You go find something else. Of course, as part of a group, you got a lot more opportunity. Like, we all tend to be in meetings, and as part of a meeting, you can have, I've done it where we've rotated, had people start the group with a joke. And some people were good at it, some people weren't, but they had a whole week to practice, and they got a little bit better at it. Or we would even, you know, vary the meeting type. So maybe have a stand-up meeting. So you want a quick meeting, do a stand-up meeting. Of course, a lot of stuff now is on Zoom and virtual, and there's things you can do there as well. One of the things I think people would love to try, if you haven't, is I call it a praise barrage, where you say, hey, before we get started here, I want to just go around the group here, and as I call your name, I like everyone else to say things that they most value about working with you. Let's start with John, and then, okay, Mary, and just take a couple seconds, really, and in 5-10 minutes, you get everyone has gotten positive feedback about what people value about them in the team. And I guarantee you, not only does it make them feel good, but whatever you called out, they're going to do even more of. They're going to become better at it. And that's a great thing. You can also do it if you're working in person and have some index cards and everyone jot down a thank you they owe someone else in our group. And you get 3 or 4 index cards with thank you notes from people that you work with. You know, you read those a couple times and it sinks in and makes you more committed and more enjoyable. I'm glad I'm working with these people. They appreciate what I do for them, what I do for us, and that's a good thing.
Of course, these are just a few of the ideas of the very many you have in your book, Work Made Fun Gets Done, and really appreciate your visit so far with us here today. Of course, this episode, again, is brought to you by our partners at the Before It Happened podcast series. Before any world-changing innovation, there was a moment, an event, a realization that sparked that idea. The Before It Happened podcast series is a show exactly about that idea. Each week, host Donna Laughlin takes a deep dive into a singular light bulb moment that inspired the visionaries to push forward and change our lives. To listen in or to simply subscribe, visit beforeithappened.com. Again, that is beforeithappened.com. Today, we're joined by Dr. Bob Nelson, a PhD and the president of Nelson Motivation, Inc., the world's leading authority on employee recognition and engagement. Dr. Bob is also co-author of the new book, Work Made Fun Gets Done, Easy Ways to Boost Energy, Morale, and Results. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, tell us, Dr. Nelson, what can employees do if the boss isn't on board with all this? Are there ways to make work more fulfilling anyway?
Yeah, if the boss isn't on board, the first thing I'd recommend is just do it without him, you know, and don't waste a lot of time trying to convince him. Just do it with other people in the group, and as you have impact, you can start to draw them in. You can also then, you know, make a personal appeal to them. Just find something that he can participate in, she can participate in, and be a part of it. Some people don't, you know, want to do fun things because they're afraid they're going to look silly. They're afraid that it's be viewed as a waste of time. And if they experience it, they could see that it really doesn't. It really isn't it's a simple thing, and it helps people do their work more easily. If it's upper management you're trying to convince, make a case by showing the data. For example, the best place to work list in America, done by Fortune magazine, researchers there found that of companies on that list, 82% say it's a fun place to work. Of the employees that didn't make the list, only 62% say they work in a fun environment. That difference is actually the largest of any variable they studied in compiling that list. So if you want to have a high-performing company, high-performing group, whatever your goals are, you will get there faster, more effectively with a fun environment, and you will better attract, retain and get more out of people that feel that's a great place to work. So keep that in mind. And again, at the organizational level, it's not that hard. I worked with the president of Belmont College in Nashville. He took a year sabbatical to visit high performing companies to see how they do things. And he came back. The first thing he said was, "They're all fun places to work. We got to have more fun here." And he started a fun committee, got people that volunteered to be on it, and see what you come up with. And just by being creative, you can do a lot of fun things. If you need some budget, let's talk about that. Off they went. I worked with a law firm in Seattle. Very similar type thing. They started a happiness committee. It had five people on it. No one knew who any of them were, but anyone on that committee could say, "It's time to do something." So they'd have a picnic on the roof in downtown Seattle, or they swapped meeting space that they had with a company on the next block over. That was a limo company, and they got free limo rides. They can give people because they provide a place for that company to meet with their employees, and on it just by being creative and then getting help. So involve people. Ask employees what ideas that they have, and again, alternate who's doing what, or get it. You know, some things you need multiple people, you need help to pull off. Ask for that help. It's not, you don't have to do this on your own. And one of my big learnings on doing the project, the work for this book, was that what is fun is very different from people. There's overlap as well, but I was surprised at how many different things people report as being fun. So for some people, it's listening to music while they work. For others, it's being able to take a break. For my wife, it's fun. If she had a good day, she got a lot done. Then she feels it was fun, you know. So it's all over the map. And so try things yourself, but then ask other people what things they'd like to try. So you share the responsibility, and as you involve people, it becomes more meaningful for them and more exciting as well. So I've done a lot as a manager over 30 years, and I'm constantly delighted and surprised at what other people want to do that is fun for all of us.
Really do appreciate the input on that, and that is most helpful. I'm sure someone else certainly is looking forward to applying that. As mentioned, now, as much as having fun sounds like something everyone would enjoy, you stress that there are several do's and don'ts for having fun at work. What are those, if you don't mind touching on that?
Well, a big one is it's got to be safe for everyone. So you don't have fun at someone else's expense. You don't make someone do something they don't want to do. I remember a company I worked for, and we did a staff thing for all the company, and people had to get up and talk, and a lot of people, they're not comfortable doing that. This one woman, we forced her to just kind of talk about herself and hobbies, whatever it was, and she never came to another group meeting again after that. You know, what good is it to embarrass someone or to force them to be uncomfortable? So it's got to be safe for everybody. And if you're not sure, check around first. Ask that question. Is everyone going to be okay with this? So don't do something like some companies will have like a bonehead award when you really made a mistake, you know, and we're going to – and that's funny for like 2 seconds. And the person that you called out said, "Well, maybe I would have done it right if I had some help," you know, and all of a sudden he's upset. And then he's mad, and now it's causing a lot more harm. So that's probably the biggest one. Again, you want to experiment. You want to try things. You want to learn from them. You want to be open and flexible to other people's ideas, and you want to be patient. It's not gonna change your work group or your work environment overnight. You got to chip away at it, and ultimately, longest journey is on taken with the first step. You can move in that direction. Probably the most important starting point, though, is between your ears. Choose to have fun, be playful, and don't just expect that that's going to be there's a lot of people that appreciate fun and humor, but they never initiate it, you know. So it's a one person that, you know, kind of the class clown or the person that, that organizes the parties, and it's like, well, that's not, you got to do more than that. It's got to be all of us contributing to enjoy the fruits of each other's ideas. Otherwise, you burn that person out, and then, you know, they don't want to do it anymore. So those are the keys we find that in environments where this is ongoing and it's thriving, those are the what tends to come through.
Also, some additional bonus and awesome information right there. Thanks for that. Now, as we conclude, what's the one piece of advice you hope readers take from your book?
Try it. You might like it. I know you'll like it. So do something. If you attend meetings and they're always boring and you dread it, you'd be the person that speaks up and says, hey, can we try this? Or I want to, you know, I just saw something really funny, if I could share it with everyone. And just give it a try and see what, you know, the response. If you're shut down, then maybe that's your group or that company isn't going to happen right away. And at some point, if it never happens, then maybe that tells you something about your fit with that group or that organization. Maybe it's time to find a new job. And life's too short to just be doing something that you dread, or you hate the people you're with, or you don't really like what you're doing. So make it fun. Start with yourself, the people you immediately work with, and get into the game. Of course, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. In our book, we have over 400 real-life examples from companies all across America. You can open it anywhere and see a real example of what someone's doing right now and say, wow, that's not that hard. We should do that. Or I know managers that will pass my book around their staff and say, hey, the initial idea is in the margin that you like. And now he's got a personalized motivation handbook for the group, and that makes it a little bit easier.
Dr. Nelson, really do appreciate your visit with us here today and for all the information shared. I'm sure listeners want to know where they can purchase the book, and also to get more information about you online, where's the best place to do so?
Well, it's books available mostly wherever books are sold. We sell them on our website for actually cheaper than Amazon. It's www.drbobnelson.com. That's drbobnelson.com. Got an online bookstore, and this and other books I've done, 1,001 Ways to Reward Employees, for example, and they're all paperbacks, so they're not that expensive to begin with, and we discount them even further, so to try to get the word out to help people.
Again, Dr. Bob, all the best. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly was our pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
And you're certainly more than welcome. We've been speaking with Dr. Bob Nelson, a PhD and the president of Nelson Motivation, Inc., the world's leading authority on employee recognition and engagement. Dr. Bob is also the co-author of the new book, Work Made Fun, Gets Done, Easy Ways to Boost Energy, Morale, and Results. And for further details, visit drbobnelson.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.
This episode of Enterprise Radio was brought to you by our partners at the Before It Happened podcast series. Nearly 20 years ago, Donna Laughlin launched a public relations firm with the sole purpose of helping visionaries tell their story to the world. Now, two decades later, she's sharing those stories and more with you. To listen in or to subscribe, simply visit beforeithappened.com.